11th, and you are listening to Against the Current, CITR's weekly news radio show. CITR is a campus and community radio station based on UBC's Point Grey campus. We're located on the unceded, ancestral, and traditional territories of the Musqueam people. Every Tuesday at noon, we broadcast our weekly news radio show, Against the Current, and we try to give you some timely and relevant news coverage about the Lower Mainland. If you happen to miss our Tuesday news show, you can also listen back on Saturdays at noon. My name is Jasmine, I'm the news collective this year, and I'll be your host for today's episode. And before we get started on our usual segments, I wanted to talk to you, our audience, a bit about Fun Drive. So this week is Fun Drive here at CITR, which is a one time each year where we ask for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on air. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about my own story with CITR and why being part of this campus and community radio station has been really important to me. I started getting involved with CITR because I really wanted to get into journalism. I got my start at journalism at the UBC student newspaper, the UBC, and decided that I wanted to get more experience in multimedia storytelling. And I thought that it would be really cool to learn more about radio and about how we can use radio to connect with other people and to really uplift marginalized voices. CITR gave me a place to do that, and it also gave me a really great space to learn all of the technical skills associated with multimedia storytelling in a really safe, supportive, and kind environment. So if you are in a position to contribute and enjoy the kind of content and shows that CITR puts out, please visit citr.ca/donate to donate. On that note, I wanted to talk a little bit about the segments that we have for you today, which I think are really, really fun. And today's show is a little bit more arts and culture oriented. We are going to start off with an interview with Kathleen from the Sliced Mango Collective, which is an arts and culture organization in Canada that is a community building space and a community organizing space for Filipinx youth. So we'll get to learn a bit more about the organization, their past and current and future programming, and also why having that kind of space for arts and culture engagement in terms of exploring community and learning more about cultural identity can be so valuable and so fruitful. After that, we'll be having a chat with Erin Woodward, who is the founder of The Gloss, an international book club, who also has, I believe, around 45 chapters in Canada and one in Vancouver specifically. So we got to learn a bit more about The Gloss as an organization, how that book club works, the value in being part of a book club, and a little bit more about the Vancouver chapter specifically. I'll also talk to you a bit more about the different book clubs there are here in Vancouver and the different ways that you can get involved if you really want to find that community and want to try reading some books that you might not otherwise have picked up. So I think that's enough of me just talking, so I'll let you folks start listening into our interview with Kathleen.
My name is Kathleen Zaragoza. I use she, her pronouns, and I am the co-founder and co-director of Sliced Mango Collective.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. And before we start off, I also wanted to share that I'm also a Filipina, so I'm very excited to get to know more about the collective and also you as well. So since you're also the co-director, can you tell me more about the organization as a whole and why it was founded?
For sure. So Sliced Mango, or SMC as we call it, we are an arts group by and for local Filipinx youth to gather in navigating and celebrating our heritages, our cultures, and anything there is that we want to explore about our Filipinx identity, especially as folks who are perhaps born or raised or immigrated here at an early age, especially to what is called Vancouver, or sorry, what is so-called Vancouver. We started it kind of as an idea. It was me and my friend Claire. We met in high school. We're both very much have Philippine roots and backgrounds. And we actually met, fun fact, with we both auditioned and we were in the grade eight kind of like musical theater show. So we kind of bonded through that and got to know each other, especially through our mutual love for the arts. And when we reconnected towards the pandemic times and us at that point finishing up our years at university, both of us had reconnected through a call and were landing on a lot of the same themes about what we were going through in unpacking our individual journeys with our Filipinx identity. So it kind of started there in mid-2020. From there, we gathered a team and officially launched at the beginning of 2021. And now we have currently 13 different team members who are now working on initiatives like zines. We have an annual publication that comes out. And now we also do events like workshops, community events, community gatherings. And we've also done advocacy in the past as well.
That all sounds really great. Can you start off by telling me a bit more about the zine that you make?
Sure. Let's see. We are currently working on printing our second issue. Our first issue was released in the fall of 2021, and that was called What's Your Slice? It was essentially centering themes of youth and our identities, and kind of just like an introduction to yourself and what you want to be exploring, what you want to be celebrating about heritage. This next upcoming issue is called Morenex Lamentations. Morena means brown skin, and Lamentations is kind of a play on the word laman in Tagalog, which means, like, I guess for lack of a better word, like being, or like your insides and like your inner being, and kind of lamenting it at times. So it's really an exploration on body issues and how that intersects with culture and Filipinx identity. So we're excited to put that out in the near future.
That sounds really exciting. Just to clarify, I know that in the first zine that you published, it was about this exploration of identity, especially as youth. Which youth got to participate in this project? Was it mostly members of the Slice Mango Collective or other members of the community?
It's a great question. So we put out a call for submissions to the general public. So there are some local submissions from youth, and also the call eventually got expanded to a national scope. So we actually have contributors, I believe, from spots in so-called Ontario, spots around the East Coast, as well as both local contributors and a couple of our featured writers that are a part of our Slice Mango team.
I see. I know you also mentioned workshops and doing those kind of community gatherings. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Sure. Our first event and like the first thing that we really did when we launched Slice Mango was actually a writing workshop. Claire and I had piloted and kind of put a small program together. Writing is something that Claire is very passionate about, and I'm like beginning to explore in my own artistry. So when we made that, we actually got invited through a connection of hers in the East Coast, and we got to kind of co-facilitate a writing workshop called In Between the Lines. And that was at an event called Pinoys on Parliament, which is based in Ottawa. But they were doing it virtually as it was still the pandemic. So we were able to kind of launch and do our arts kind of events and programming in that way. We've done, I think, a couple of other workshops since. The latest one was actually a zine making workshop in partnership with VPL, the Vancouver Public Library, especially their teens library. So a couple of our zine team members were able to co-facilitate that. And yeah, we've also done a couple of community gatherings. One was for, or like in support of the zine launch. So we got to do that when we launched the zine again in fall 2021. And our most latest community gathering was parol making. So we got to learn how to make kind of the Filipino stars that they make around Christmas. And yeah, that was happening just in the past month or two over the holidays.
I don't think I've had parol in so long. So now you're making me crave it. Can you tell me a bit more about the In Between the Lines workshop? I think that's a really interesting title. Can you tell me more about maybe if that title has any significance or if you connected writing to any kind of cultural significance or storytelling in that workshop?
Ooh, I think In Between the Lines is particularly special for me, at least, because there was a lot of liberties that we tried to take, or rather I should say this, it was designed to be as open-ended as possible. It was prompts that were threefold. So we started off with a prompt about food. How do you feel about food? How do you feel connected to food? And then that moved on to language. How do you feel about language? What kind of languages are you fluent in? What do you feel comfortable speaking? What might you understand but not be able to speak? Prompts such as those. And then we moved on to identity. So how do you feel about all of these cultural components and how do you bring that all together? And kind of slowly unpacking and kind of like bringing awareness to what first comes to mind with prompts like that. So yeah, we're really excited of continuing to explore themes like that. And we started off again in like a community setting, and we've actually brought it out to a couple of our guest speaking engagements as well. One that comes to mind is with Douglas College. We got invited from a cold call, and yeah, we got to guest speak at a sociology course and kind of bring a version of that writing workshop to the students as well.
Interesting. That sounds like a very reflective workshop. As an organization, either through your zines or your community workshops, have you ever engaged with kind of professional Filipino writers and Filipino literature in that sense, or mostly kind of writing as a community exercise and community kind of bonding activity?
Let's see. We haven't kind of had collaborations like that yet, though we definitely hope to in the future. Yeah, we've kind of just used it as a community gathering, community exploration, collective kind of tool for us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know that you mentioned a couple different projects that you've already worked on so far. I know we've talked about the zine and the workshops. Is there anything else that I'm forgetting that you've mentioned?
So we have done some advocacy as well. It's actually a bit of a funny story how we got into it, because it was only a couple of months after we had launched. So in March 2021, one member of our team had caught wind of some news that was around the Joyce Collingwood neighborhood. And for those who are Filipinx and locally based in so-called Metro Vancouver, you might know that there's a block of Filipino restaurants and Filipino food establishments there in Joyce Collingwood. And we had heard that there was a redevelopment proposal on that block. So for some members of our team, we're like, what? What's gonna happen to these restaurants? We've known them to be there for as long as we've been around Vancouver. So even though we were such a new team, we had wanted to do our best to like contribute and like do our part and just like spread awareness to as many people as possible. So that turned into like a whirlwind 3-week campaign that we called Slice of Support, in support of those businesses. And we got like a grand introduction to community organizing, and we were really like learning as we go. But ultimately, yeah, that advocacy campaign, we got to connect with a lot of community leaders a lot of a lot of we were introduced to a lot of like the decision-making processes and learned a lot about city policy, which was a whole branch that we hadn't considered doing from the start of Slice Mango, just because we're all like a volunteer youth group. But we were definitely in the interest of learning, and we were able to foster a lot of support and a lot of community connection through that.
That sounds like a very interesting and also very intensive learning experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was that kind of experience like as, a volunteer youth-driven organization?
It was a challenge to say the least. I would say that the four of us who were on the team and actively able to work on the campaign at that time, it was stressful and difficult just because we were all learning something new. None of us had really had a firm grasp on city policy and planning and topics like that before. But given our, I guess, our eagerness to learn, as well as our passion and desire to support our community in whatever ways that we can, we were happy to do it. It required a lot of rest after the fact, and required a lot of like, okay, let's like take care of each other after this, and make sure that we're taking care of our energy, because it was very like time consuming, energy consuming, but nonetheless deserving of attention, especially for our community, let alone the general public, to really have our voices be heard on issues like that. So we were ultimately pretty happy with the end result.
Well, I'm glad that all of you were able to prioritize getting rest after that. I've had a bit of experience in that area as well, and it's definitely quite taxing. Could
Sure. Yeah.
you tell me a little bit more about your partnership with the Heritage Vancouver Society as well?
For sure. Yes. So actually, stemming from Slice of Support, the Heritage Vancouver Society was working on, they essentially established a series of events that started with something that they called the Reading Room, which was an opportunity for folks to kind of learn more about local issues, especially as they relate to heritage in the Vancouver context. And for Reading Room in particular, they were asking us if they could use our Slice of Support resources as an example. So that's where we had first heard about Heritage Vancouver and considered kind of engaging with them and kind of being in conversation about our work. And from there, it kind of just it just grew very naturally, the way that our partnership was, because from Reading Room became an opportunity to collaborate with their next event that was called Listening Room, where we got to bring a panel of community speakers together and talk more about Slice of Support. So that was a really great success, not just the event, but also with how we as a team were working with Heritage Vancouver Society. And in the past year plus that we've been working together, it's just been a very fulfilling experience to build relations and build a team with them. Claire and I especially, we see them as mentors and as people who are really supportive of our vision for SMC. So we were really excited when we got to submit a proposal for a project that we're calling Kwentong Pamamahay, which in Tagalog that translates to, or sorry, in English that translates to stories of homemaking or stories of placemaking. And we're hoping in the next year to kind of create an accessible digital exhibition of stories that are all highlighting and focusing on the Filipino experience in Vancouver, in Metro Vancouver.
I'll definitely be looking forward to that project. It sounds like a very important and touching subject to explore. Can you also tell me a bit more about the funding, the new funding that you've received, and what you plan to use that funding towards?
Sure. So the funding that we've received from the City of Vancouver is actually for Kwentong Pamamahay. We've been developing this idea for about a year now, just internally with our teams. We've kind of just been brainstorming what this might look like, how we want to tell stories, how we actually want to develop it as research, because stories is like oral history and oral tradition. So we want to be able to capture that in a way that the public is able to access it, but also use it as data of like, no, Filipinos are here and we've been here in the city. And like that representation is super important across the board. So yeah, we hope that the funding that we received, we can put fully into the project and continue developing it.
That's good to know. Do you remember roughly how much funding you've received? If you're comfortable sharing that, of course.
I don't know currently, just because I'm not the steward of the grants and the team. Yeah, I don't know at this time.
No worries. Are there any other future or current projects that you're working on or hope to work on that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I guess they're just general plans right now, honestly. But we do have the upcoming zine release that we've been working on and working to print and publish very soon. And we also have recently, we've recently, oh my gosh, my words. We have recently expanded our events team. So we're looking forward to bringing about more community events in the coming year.
For sure. And a couple more general questions. I'd love to know a little bit more about why being part of the Slice Mango Collective and directing and founding it was personally important to you as, an individual and as a person.
Great question. I feel like I could start this a million different ways. But I will say that again, when Claire and I had reconnected after high school in particular, and especially after university, I had gone to UBC. I graduated in 2021, and my friend Claire, she we were living together in Vancouver, and then she moved after high school out to Ontario. So she went to Hamilton, and I was staying in Vancouver. And when we got to reconnect and kind of like compare the differences of how we were experiencing community as Filipinx people, we realized a lot of contrast, and we realized, like, oh, that's a missed opportunity. We, as youth living in Vancouver, we never really got to experience community that was so connected, and that was like essentially the we didn't know where to find youth that were outside of our school or outside of our church communities. And I think that's really important to kind of create that community space. Especially that is apart from school life or work life or family life. So we both, in our own ways, decided to start Slice Mango Collective because no one else is kind of doing it. And we had yet to see that kind of like youth representation for our community. So yeah.
I think that that is a very relatable thought process as, another Filipino youth who grew up in the area. I also don't really know where to find other Filipino youth outside of the settings that you've already mentioned. So it's nice to see that there are people who are trying to do that work to create that kind of space. And kind of on that topic, why do you think arts and culture specifically can be a valuable way to create that kind of community space and to explore cultural identity?
I think arts, I think I think exploring the arts and engaging in art essentially is, in a lot of ways, is where people go when they don't have language, to express themselves, to understand others. And I know, and for me and my background, especially when I graduated from UBC, I graduated with a degree in cognitive systems and I focused on language. And it was something that I was exploring in my own kind of individual research. And I realized that arts, not just from my own personal experiences, but for the experiences of my peers and everyone around me, we kind of use arts as a different way to express ourselves, to communicate ourselves, and ultimately to understand not just ourselves, but others. So I think it's a really valuable tool, maybe sometimes underappreciated, but definitely valued tool of what it means to just connect to somebody and to try and understand somebody's point of view. And kind of just like express a certain level of individuality and creativity, that I don't think you can do in very many other ways.
And that is about it for our interview with Kathleen from the Sliced Mango Collective. After the break, we'll be launching into our interview with Erin Woodward from The Gloss, where we'll be talking about all things book clubs.
This is Chris Arific from the Parts Unknown show on Mondays from 1 till 3. Picture this, 1999. Fresh-faced Chris Arific takes to the microphone at CITR for the first time. At the end of a show that I was filling in for, Third Time's the Charm, hosted by Bryce Dunn, fresh-faced Nardwar the Human Serviette comes into the booth and tells me that I did a great job. Then Nardwar proceeds to talk to me for 45 minutes. I was elated. I couldn't believe it. I was so elated that I forgot that my parking had expired and I got a parking ticket. That's what CITR means to me. What does it mean to you?
Hey there, this is Steve Edge from the Saturday Edge on Folk. This week is Fun Drive here at CITR, the one time each year when we ask for your support to help us keep local, independent and alternative voices on the air. For me, CITR is the focal point of my entire week. Every Saturday morning from 8 till noon since June 1985, I do my utmost to bring you the latest and finest in folk and roots music from all around this wonderful planet. There's so much exciting and enthralling music being made right here in Vancouver and so many other cultural hotspots around the world too. 4 hours a week seems hardly enough. CITR broadcasts on FM radio as well as on our website, citr.ca. Sadly, our transmitter is old and in dire need of replacement. So if you support this year's Fun Drive, you will help us buy a new one and sharpen up the sound wherever and however you want to tune us in and turn us on. If you're in a position to contribute, please visit citr.ca/donate to make your contribution. We have some amazing swag to sweeten the pot too. Thank you so much.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to CITR 101.9's weekly news radio show Against the Current. And for our next segment, we'll be doing an interview with Erin Woodward, the founder of The Gloss, which is an international book club community.
My name is Erin, and I started The Gloss in 2008. So we are in 15 years here, and I started in London, England, and then eventually it grew and expanded all over the world. We now operate in 15 countries, and that's really about the book club itself and not so much about me, but there you go.
Well, that sounds really great. Can you tell me a bit more about why you founded The Gloss?
Yes, I was living in England and I had moved there for a boy, which is another segment, perhaps. And I did not have any friends. So I had had a book club back in Toronto when I lived there. And so I thought, what a great way to meet people. Let's start a book club in London and see if anybody else has any interest. And lo and behold, a lot of people were very interested. So
that sounds nice. I think that book clubs can be a really great source of community. Can you tell me a bit more about how The Gloss works as an organization and how people can get involved?
Sure. So we have chapters. We have about 45 chapters in Canada. So we're all over Canada. We have a Vancouver and a Victoria chapter. And then we are all over the States. We're all over Europe and Australia, New Zealand. So you just need to go to the website to see if there's a chapter near you. And like I said, we do have a Vancouver chapter. So anybody is welcome to join. We're open to everybody. And then you can just look when our next meeting is. You have to find out what book we're reading. Give that a look at least, and then you can show up the end of the month to discuss it.
Nice. And if there isn't a chapter in one's area, how would they be able to start making a chapter?
Yeah, so they can contact us to start new chapters. We're always starting new chapters. We're always working on anywhere from 5 to 10 new chapters all the time. So that's not a problem. And we also do have an online version just so that we can be accessible to people who perhaps live in a rural community where a chapter just isn't feasible. So we try and do it in multiple time zones too. So
I see. And how much does it cost to be part of the book club?
So if you just want to try it out, we do offer just a $5 event fee, and that's just to get you started. And if you come to your first meeting, say, and you have a great time, then you can go home and buy our membership, which is $55, but it includes sort of all the meetings. You can go to Vancouver, you could go to Victoria. If you're traveling for work, you could go to Toronto's meeting, and you could also attend online at the same time. And it also includes a number of other things like rights to vote on the books we read. It gives you access to Meet the Author, which is our monthly author interview. And it also, we donate 5% of all of our proceeds to a charity that supports literacy at the end of the year. And there's a gift with purchase as well. So it's, yeah, you get a lot of stuff for your $55.
That sounds really cool. Can you tell me a bit more about the Meet the Author events?
Yeah, so every month we get the opportunity to Zoom with whatever author we have read that month. So we have really... we've read some really, really big authors, and luckily enough, they've all been really awesome and have spoken with us. So,
is that for each chapter or just a specific chapter?
So we try and hold it in a time zone that makes sense for as many people as possible. So everybody's invited, but if it's harder for the UK members. Sometimes we do a 4 p.m. so that the UK members can attend, but it's usually at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard, which would work on the West Coast as well.
I see. And do you have any examples of authors that you've talked to in the past?
Oh, yeah. We've spoken to Colleen Hoover, Tara Jenkins Reid. We've even had Cheryl Strayed at a live event. I've interviewed Lawrence Hill. I've interviewed, oh, gosh, so many amazing, amazing authors.
Those are some really big and great authors that you've mentioned. I've got to interview Lawrence Hill in the past before, and he's such a lovely person.
Yeah, he's pretty cool and a Canadian, so.
Yes, we love that. What do you think is the value in having both kind of that local engagement option and also having that global engagement option?
Yes, that's a great question. We have a lot of different platforms where the members can engage with their sort of global membership. And it's really interesting because sometimes we'll read a book and the UK will be like, we thought this was terrible. And then you have the Americans or say the Canadians or a bit of both maybe saying like, this was the best book we ever read. So it's really interesting to see how one book lands in certain countries versus other countries. I mean, obviously it's always a mix of both, but sometimes we feel that maybe a book lands really well in one country and not so well in another.
I see. And what kind of books do you generally choose? Is I know you mentioned voting. Is there a specific theme or process that you use to decide which book there is? Are you reading?
Sorry, I cut you off there. Each month we read a different genre. So one of the things, the feedback we get is they're so great. The book club is so great because it connects individuals with people they would not normally have met. That is the number one feedback. Everybody's looking for new friendships. The second feedback we get is that they read books that they would never have picked up. So, and they love that. So we one month we'll read memoir, like we read From the Ashes by Jesse Thistle one month, and the next month we changed it up completely and read Mary Kubica's psychological thriller. So we really go all over the place. And I don't love every genre, but we read romance, we read historical fiction, we read contemporary fiction, we read it all.
I see. So does everyone then read the same book every month and then they just meet to discuss in their local chapters?
Yeah, so there's a discussion going online as well, sort of like on the Facebook, Instagram platforms, which is a global conversation, but in real life is with your local community.
I see. That makes sense. Can you also tell me a bit about why you chose to create this space for women readers specifically?
Yeah, in when I lived in London, I wanted to find new friends because, like I said, I didn't know anybody when I moved to London, and I had met a boy in Africa, so that space I wasn't looking to entertain, but I really needed female friendship. So I opened it to female readers exclusively at that time. We have since sort of broadened our horizons and become more accessible to everybody, but specifically it was for me females initially because of my own needs personally.
I see. What do you think is the value in having that kind of space for female friendships in the book community?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of space where you can meet people, but I think as we get older, it gets fewer and fewer. And unless you're sort of like engaging with different individuals at work, then all of a sudden it's really hard to meet friends as you get into your 40s, into your 50s. And this is a community that connects people of all ages too, and that's sort of rare as well. You don't often have a community that you sit down at a table and discuss a book and you get a perspective from somebody, say, in their 70s and somebody in their 20s. Like it happens very rarely. So it's really, really special, actually.
I see. That does sound like a very special kind of community and bond. Can you tell me a bit more about the Vancouver chapter and how that chapter has been doing?
Yeah, Vancouver's always done very, very well. They like to move around a lot and try different venues, so that's fun. It's open to anybody. Like I said, people of all ages are welcome to join us. It is, I will say, it is marketed towards females and non-binary people, but if a gentleman or a man comes across us and he feels a certain affinity for the gloss, then our doors are always open to everybody. So, yeah, and Vancouver, I know that they have a lot of expats. It's a transient city, so I mean, I'm telling you live there. a lot of people coming and going. So when you land in Vancouver, if you're having trouble meeting people, then I know that the two hosts are actually not Canadians. They are from other places. So they've used it to sort of expand their social circles in Vancouver.
I see. Can you tell me more about the book that you're currently reading for this month?
Sure, it's romance, which is not my favorite genre, but I absolutely adored this book. Tia Williams is the author, and it's called 7 Days in June. And it's funny, smart. I literally stayed up all night reading it. I couldn't wait to get through it. She has a love affair with a gentleman when she's in her teens, actually. And then maybe 20 years later, it's comes to the surface, and they meet again. So that's the premise of the book, but it's very well done.
I've heard of 7 Days in June quite a bit, especially on Book Talk.
Oh yeah.
And I've been meaning to read it for a while now. I think the two main characters, they're both writers, aren't they?
That's right. They're both authors, and they've actually included little bits of, I'm sorry, my printer is going here. They've actually included little bits of about each other in their books.
So will you be able to interview the author 7 days in June this month as well?
Yeah, we're going to interview her at the end of February. I can't wait, actually. I'm very excited for that.
Very cool. Very cool. I think that about covers all of the questions that I wanted to ask you both about the gloss and about Vancouver as well. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
No, just again, a call out that if anybody wants to join us, our meetings are monthly and all of our books are online. You can find it, all the information there, and you can RSVP to join the Vancouver chapter.
And that about wraps up our interview with Erin Woodward. If you'd like to hear more about local book clubs, stay tuned after the break, where I'll be giving you some more book club recommendations. And after that, we'll be going over some different ways you can engage both critically and creatively with Black History Month.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya,
and the Scatulia, Talitin, who must we must deal.
Help me find a bathrobe. I'm so cold without it.
What?
Can you help me find a bathrobe? I'm so cold without it.
Maybe you can go to...
I heard at CITR you can donate during Fun Drive from February 2nd to 9th to get cool prizes like lighters, wine glasses, bathrobes, and more. Donate to CITR to help community radio thrive.
To donate, go to citr.ca/donate.
So, book clubs, anyone? Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Against the Current, CITR's weekly news radio show. This is Jasmine. I'm the news collective lead this year, and I'll be your host for today's episode. And right now, I want to talk about books. I love books, and I am admittedly not that fond of clubs, but I am quite interested in book clubs. And as a compliment to our interview earlier with Erin Woodward, the founder of The Gloss, I'd like to share with all of you a non-comprehensive list of some book clubs here in the Vancouver area. Now, I know Vancouver is a notoriously unfriendly city, which can be pretty intimidating when people actually want to go out and make friends. So I think book clubs are a good and usually safe way to go about doing that. So get out a pen and paper or open your notes app on your phone and jot some of these down. The first one up is the Vancouver Science Fiction and Fantasy Book Club, which is led by organizer Jaime Burke. This book club is for nerds, and I say that as a nerd myself. They like having discussions about all things dragons, spaceship, magic, aliens, and deities related. And they have meetups every month on Zoom. Their current read, which they will discuss on February 17th, is called A Memory Called Empire. And some of their previous books that they've read are The Greenbone Saga, Sea of Tranquility, The Jasmine Throne, Black Sun, The Witness for Dead, The Priory of the Orange Tree, one of my personal favorites, and The Poppy War by R.F. Kuang, which is my ultimate favorite. And a fun fact to any other R.F. Kuang lovers, R.F. Kuang just posted on her Instagram story a couple days ago saying that she's coming to Vancouver for her Yellowface tour. And I think her tour is going to be around May. So if you love The Poppy War, you love fantasy, and you love R.F. Kuang, maybe keep that in mind. If you like animals, there is a Vancouver Animal Lovers Book Club, and as you can guess by the name, they read books about animals in any sort of way. So you can read books that are fictional, Nonfiction. You can read children's books, romance novels, autobiographies, academic books, horror, spiritual, fantasy, sci-fi, and everything in between, as long as they relate to books, which I think is super fun, if that is your kind of vibe. You can look and request to join this group on meetup.com, same for this Fantasy Lovers Book Club. If you're into history, philosophy, or politics, you can join the Ideas Book Club, which is about history, philosophy, and everything in between. Their upcoming session is about why materialism is baloney, and that'll be on February 15th. And some of their previous reads have been Colossus, The Rise and Fall of the American Empire, The Song Dynasty of China, and Empire, The Rise and Demise of the British World Order. If you are a classics type of person, you can join the Canadian Classics Book Club, where they talk and read about classics. Some of their previous reads have included Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka, The Man in the Iron Mask by Alexandre Dumas, I Captured the Castle by Dodie Smith, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou, The Catcher in the Rye, and all sorts of other classics. If you live in Surrey and want to join a book club that's a bit closer to you, there is the Surrey Book Club, and they read anything that is usually within the scope of fiction and memoirs. One of their current reads is Stories I Only Tell My Friends, which is an autobiography by Rob Lowe. They're also reading a mystery slash thriller novel by Anthony Horowitz called Magpie Murders. And later in March, they'll be discussing My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell. If you want a drink and a book and don't want to have to choose, you can join Books and Beers, which is a book club that drinks together. And some of their current reads include Undead and Unwed by Mary Janice Davidson, Kindred by Octavia Butler, The Dutch House by Anne Pratchett, and for April, Little Cruelties by Liz Nugent. If you want to learn more about truth and reconciliation, you can join the Vancouver Public Library's Truth and Reconciliation Book Club, which is online. Their next meeting is going to be on February 8th, and they have meetings around every month. If you are Persian and you want to read more Persian books in community with other people, the North Vancouver City Library has a Persian book club which you can join. They meet on the last Tuesday of every month from around 6 to 8 p.m. on Zoom, and you only need to do the registration form, and then you can go and chat about the Persian books they've selected for that month. And if you just want to chat about books in general and happen to be a UBC alumni, you can join the UBC Alumni Book Club, which is currently discussing the Dictionary of Lost Words by Pip Williams, which they'll be discussing starting March 17th. That's about it for all of the book clubs I have for you today. There are obviously going to be a lot more, and you're free to search some up if you don't think that the ones I've mentioned are quite the right fit for you. But if any of the ones I have mentioned have piqued your interest, I encourage you to search them up and send a request to join and see if you can make any new friends or read any new books.
She tucked her hair behind her ear, smiled, looked up, and asked if I've donated to CITR for Fun Drive yet. I hadn't, but I knew I couldn't lie to her. And then she said, well, I only talk to people who use their money to donate to community radio. So I did what any normal person in love would do, opened my computer, went to citr.ca/donate, and donated to my favorite shows on air to receive some really cool donation prizes, which she then demanded I give to her.
Is one of the donation prizes a journal?
Yeah, why?
You're probably going to want to keep that.
Are you looking for ways to be a part of the community through low-stakes opportunities like volunteering? What about making friends that are really cool or have some common interests? Well, I'm here to tell you that at CITR, you can come volunteer at Volunteer Wednesdays, happening every other Wednesday from 12 to 3 with a really fun activity each time, like making signs or button making. Not only is it a great break from outside stress, but a great opportunity to be a part of the community. For more information, you can visit CITR's Instagram page at CITR, and Discorder. But if you take me in your arms, be confident.
I commit a character fraud. Okay, let's see here. Blend equal parts science and stories. Add a few shakes of music and soundscape, and wrap it all up in a big question. How can we see this more than human world in a new light and take part in shaping a healthy Anthropocene? Catch Future Ecologies every Sunday at 8 a.m. on CITR.
After that, we'll be wrapping up today's episode with some ideas around how we can honor and engage with Black History Month, including some events you can attend, some books you can read, and also just different ways that we can learn about Black history, especially about what the experience is like being a Black person in Canada that is often unexplored in mainstream media. Welcome back, everyone. For our last segment of today's episode, I'd like to talk to you about a couple different ways we can engage with Black History Month this year. I'll be giving you some book recommendations and highlighting the work of some local Black scholars here at UBC. One important thing that I'd like to acknowledge is that although celebrating and honoring Black history during Black History Month is important, it's equally as important to celebrate Black history, Black excellence, and Black culture throughout the year. Instead of seeing February as a month-long nod to Black history, I hope that we can instead see it as a beginning of the year celebration of Black history that sets the tone for the rest of the year. And for my fellow non-Black listeners, I hope that we can also allow it to serve as a time for us to reflect on how we can better support, amplify, and ally with the Black community every other month of the year. I'd like to start the segment off with highlighting a couple of Black scholars here at the University of British Columbia, where CITR is based, who do some great work in Black history and related fields. I mention these scholars so that folks who want to do some more reading on Blackness and Black history know what names to search up when looking for resources, and also to support local Black academics. To start us off, Dr. Annette Henry is a professor in the Department of Language and Literacy Education, and is also cross-appointed to the Institute for Race, Gender, Sexuality, and Social Justice. She wrote a book called Taking Back Control, African-Canadian Teachers' Lives and Practice, which is the first book on Black women teachers who live and practice in Canada. Dr. Paul Littlejohn is a postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Pediatrics at the BC Children's Research Institute. Dr. Littlejohn has expertise in Black people in STEM and academia, as well as racism and health. Oludolapo Makinde is a PhD candidate at the Allard School of Law, and she's done a lot of work in anti-Black racism and education, including publishing a report as a 2019 UBC Sustainability Scholar about key actions needed to address anti-Black racism in Vancouver. Dr. Louis Mirage is an assistant professor at the UBC School of Journalism, who's done a lot of research in hashtag Black Lives Matter, Black language and communication, Black media history, Black Caribbean culture and Creole, Blackness and anti-Blackness in the classroom and university, Black digital culture, and Blackness in sports. He also wrote a book called Black or Right, Anti/Racist Campus Rhetorics, which explores notions of Blackness in white institutional and particularly educational spaces. That's about it for the scholars that I wanted to highlight for this afternoon. But on that note, I wanted to end off our whole episode today by recommending a couple books by Black Canadian authors that were both absolute pleasures to read, but also provided some really valuable opportunities for critical reflection about what it's like to grow up as a Black kid in Canada. The first book I want to recommend is They Said This Would Be Fun: Race, Campus, Life, and Growing Up by Eternity Martis. Martis is an award-winning journalist and assistant professor at the School of Journalism at the Toronto Metropolitan University. They Said This Would Be Fun is a memoir about what it was like for her being one of the few Black students on campus while she studied in Western University. It's funny, brilliant, poignant, and sincere. I read this book for a Canadian Studies seminar I did last year with Professor Manel Mitani, and I had the absolute delight of meeting Eternity along with the rest of my classmates as part of a class interview. In her book, she discusses loneliness, independence, navigating Black womanhood as someone who's of mixed race heritage, racism on campus, intimate partner violence, among many other things. Since CITR is a campus as well as a community radio station, I thought that highlighting a book about what campus life can be like for Black students would be fitting. I'm also in my 20s now, and for listeners who are at a similar stage in life, or who still remember what this stage of life was like for them, I think you'll find this book quite compelling. Modest writes about navigating the wake of adolescence and the beginnings of adulthood with such honesty and vividness that you can form an instant connection with her on the page. One of my personal favorite quotes from her book, which I think encapsulates the book quite well, is this. From the ages of 18 to 22, I learned more about what someone like me brought out in other people than about who I was. I didn't even get a chance to know myself before I had to fight for myself. That's from They Said This Would Be Fun, Race, Campus Life, and Growing Up by Eternity Martis. Another book that I quite enjoyed was Beatrice and Croc Harry by Lawrence Hill. To read from the book description on Hill's website, Beatrice and Croc Harry is a novel for both children and adults about a young girl who wakes up alone with amnesia and inside a massive forest where every conceivable fish, bird, mammal, and reptile coexists. She has no idea who she is. She doesn't even know her last name or that she's Black. This book was an absolute joy to read, and I think that Beatrice is such a fun and lovely character. I think that sometimes older readers tend to dismiss books with children as part of their target audience, which I honestly think is quite a shame, because I don't think that these kind of books are any less compelling, any less interesting, or any less deserving of critical engagement. And although what Beatrice goes through is no joke, I think that she also makes readers laugh quite often, and especially during Black History Month, where the tendency is to center Black grief, I hope that we as readers, and especially non-Black readers, make an intentional effort to create space for Black joy. And one of my favorite quotes from Beatrice and Croc Harry is, "It's not always about the one with the bigger muscles or the fiercest jaws," Fuzzy said. "Sometimes you can save a life without a lot of fanfare and without anybody even noticing." That's Beatrice and Croc Harry by Lawrence Hill. If you'd like to check out some more reads, the Vancouver Public Library has also compiled a list of books by local Black authors, including Junie by Shalane Knight, Withholding by Chantal Gibson, The Outer Harbor by Wade Compton, Harrowings by Cecily Nicholson, and I've Been Meaning to Tell You, A Letter to My Daughter by David Cheriandi. I highly recommend that you go check out their website and browse these titles, and feel free to do some research yourself. There are a lot of great compilations on the internet about books by Black Canadian writers you can take a gander at. And if there's too many to read for you all in one month, it's just as fun and important to support Black authors every other month of the year. That is a wrap for today's episode. I hope all of you had just as much fun listening to my conversations with Kathleen and Aaron as I did having them, and also were able to jot down a couple names of some book clubs here in Vancouver and some books or scholars that you want to read up on. And a friendly reminder before we finally end for today, it is Fund Drive here at CITR, which is our annual fundraising week. And if you like the content that we produce, including the content here on Against the Current, please consider donating at citr.ca/donate. And if the show Against the Current is what inspired you to make a donation, please indicate that when you're filling out your form. I hope all of you have a lovely, lovely day. And I hope to see you again next week. Bye, everyone.
This is Orin from Planet Floss.
And I'm here to let you know that...
This week is Fun Drive here at CITR, the one time each year where we ask you for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on.